Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how fantastic welders are in Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, my name is 4x4 Toyota Tyler. Other people have started mentioning me 4x4 Overland Tyler. I don't know why. I don't get it, but I guess, I don't know, whatever. You guys are mean. Joining me in the studio, though.
Hashtag trailer.
Hashtag trailer life. Joining me in the studio today is one and only Mr. Jeep and Jimmy. How are you, buddy?
Psst, that's you. That's your cue.
I don't own a Jeep.
Oh, Mr. But that's what this t-shirt says that I'm sitting on.
Yeah, you're sitting at that. You're Jeep and Jimmy.
I'm Jeep and Jimmy over here.
I'm Ford Yoda Tyler.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Yeah. I'm excited for this interview today.
I'm excited for this interview today as well. I don't want to say been a long time coming, but I'm kind of surprised we haven't had these two on the podcast before.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I have as well.
We've talked a lot about them.
Yes, we have. And I'm excited to be able to share some of the things they have going and everything that they've been doing and one of their new products for this month. Should we phrase this month?
Yeah, let's jump right into that. Yeah, because we have a few updates for listener and Snail Squad updates.
Yeah, I think let's cover a lot of that on Thursday.
Okay.
Because this was not a terribly long interview, but this is an interview month.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we'll cover a lot of Snail Squad, irate 4x4 Patreon stuff on Thursday's episode.
Cool.
If you have any questions in regards to that, in the meantime, feel free to reach out to us. You know how. Or listen to the end of the episode and we talk about how.
Yeah. If you are listening to this on time on Monday when it comes out, April 4th, check your emails. We sent out an email with instructions on the whole switch over to iRate. So,
yep. And if you have questions on that, we'll cover more about it on Thursday.
Correct. So wait until after Thursday's episode if you have questions, and we'll field any and all of them.
Yeah, but I think, and let's jump into, since we're sort of talking about some of that stuff, gift boxes are out.
Yes, they are.
Also, Snail X shirts have gone out.
Oh, perfect.
So everybody, for the most part, should have received their Snail, custom Snail Trail 4x4 Snail X shirt.
Those were the limited edition ones we did for quarter one.
Yeah.
We had the orders available for them in January, so they're out now.
Yeah, the order was in December and closed in January, and then it took a little bit longer to get printed than expected. Mm-hmm. So those are out. Gift boxes have been sent out, all but one. Sorry, Wyatt, yours as the time of this recording is being sent out today.
Yep.
That's
Wyatt, his gift box.
Yep. And then our American stripper.
Yeah.
I'll hand deliver yours the next time I visit you. So
nice.
Let's see. So yeah, the gift boxes are out. I've already seen people posting about them.
Mm-hmm.
So you should probably have those in your hands by Thursday, which I think we'll also cover the gift boxes on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And then shall we allude to this month's theme?
Hell yeah. We're in April. You know what April is, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's April.
National Welding Month.
Get the fuck out of here. Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Oh, that's why we're doing the welding theme.
Yes.
I thought we were doing the welding theme because it was Tyler's month.
No, it's National Welding Month.
Well, I feel sheepish. That's funny. I never realized it was National Welding Month.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we did. So we're going to be talking, Monday interviews are going to be all welding related this month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The gift box is a welding themed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be covering a lot of stuff about welding this month, and we're going to hopefully not screw too much of it up.
Yeah, the nice thing about pulling in interviews is you guys get to yell at them about the information. Yeah. We're just here asking questions now.
We're talking to more experts than us.
Yes, exactly.
So we got welding month and it's Tyler's month. But
yeah, come on. That's like the best month of the year. I agree. Studio audience agrees with me. Thank you. Well, thank you, guys. I'll pay you your $20 later. No, yeah, we got welding month going on, which means we're going to do the drawing for March's giveaway, which was the K-Bar knife with Wee Bee knives and bandit concealment. We're going to do that on Thursday for you guys. And this month then... What is our giveaway for this month being National Welding Month, Jimmy?
Yeah, we talk about it a little bit in the interview here, but our giveaway is a stage one bun welder.
Correct. Yes.
So super excited for the interview. E's coming in today and handing off our interview or our giveaway prize, which is outstanding. So somebody on, what are we calling them? I don't know what snail squads, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jason and I were talking about that. Somebody talked about skulls. So somebody on the irate skull level, I don't know what we don't have a name for it yet, is going to win a bun welder.
Yeah, bun trail welder. And this is, you know, Jimmy and I, we've done a couple of episodes now about welding and different welders out there. Really cool kit. You guys are going to hear about it. But regardless of whether or not you know how to weld, you should be carrying a welder if you're doing rock crawling or anything extreme where you're going to be breaking metal on a trail.
Yes.
Which is
don't go and do it.
Yeah. Or don't go. it's a really cool kit, super streamlined, very simple. And they have some phenomenal prices.
Yes.
That we'll get into in the interview here as well, because our interview today, our first interview of National Welding Month, also known as Tyler's Month, is with the Bun Trail Welder crew. So Sue and Chai Bun, really good. I don't want to say good friends. I wish we were better friends. I wish I got more time to hang out with them more and go wheeling with them more and just hang out. They're great people.
They're phenomenal people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so you guys get to hear some of their stories. We've gotten to interact with them quite a bit, being local here in NorCal, and gotten to know them a little bit. And there's some stories that came out I had not heard about before. So getting to meet them and know them a little bit better has been really neat. And it just makes me want to hang out with them even more. So,
yeah. And the fact that they are, you know, have this product that is released in a phenomenal price point so that anybody for the most part can get a welder, a trail welder, to take out with them on difficult trails like the Rubicon, where, I mean, I've needed to weld on my rig out on the Rubicon, you know, and I didn't have a welder, but I borrowed something like a bun welder while we were out there to get it fixed. So, you know, having a welder is an absolute requirement for at least somebody in the group should have a welder.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Every trip you go on, if you're doing rock crawling, somebody in the group should have a welder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that about does it. The interview was a little bit long. There's some really fun stories that came out of it. So we're going to keep the intro nice and short and sweet. And that's all we're going to be talking about today for this. We'll get into more things on Thursday. And I guess without further ado, let's jump right on over and we can hand some mics over to Sue and Chai here and listen to what they have to say, shall we?
Absolutely.
Cool. Go ahead and grab your favorite beverages, your favorite candy. Have you heard anything about the candy yet, by the way?
No?
Because we sent that out a couple days earlier, didn't we?
Yes.
So they should have it already.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, sorry. We'll get into that on Thursday maybe too. Grab your favorite candy. I like Twix. And we'll be right on back with today's campfire discussion with Sue and Chai. Welcome back, ladies and gentle ladies. We are here at the Snail Trail Studio with two really awesome people. We've gotten to hang out with you guys a few times. We actually haven't been wheeling yet too much. I did kind of a half trip with you guys one time. We'll give that. We can probably get into that story in a little bit. Yeah, we have Sue and Chai here. Bun, you guys run Bun Welders, which have been gaining a lot of popularity. And this month being a welding and fabrication month here on the podcast, we thought it'd be really fun to kick off the month with you guys to sit here and kind of tell us your guys' story. So just so everybody kind of gets used to your voices, because we don't get to show everybody your guys' lovely faces. Go ahead and say hi, Chai.
Hi, everyone. This is the V Chai Bun from Bun Trail Welder.
Okay. Yeah. And Sue?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. And once again, thank you for having us here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming down. We're looking forward to having a fun show with you guys. I know that you guys have been up here in the NorCal area, wheeling in the rock crawling scene for quite a while. You both have really nice built rigs. You have a lot of experience out on the trail. I'm sure you've got a lot of stories to tell. So where do we want to begin, Jimmy?
I say let's start at the beginning.
Very beginning.
Very beginning.
When were you born? When were you guys born?
That's a long story here.
Where was conception at? We'll start there. The very, very beginning. No, I'm kidding.
How did you two meet?
Yeah.
We meet back in the valley in Merced. Yeah, we went to the same school.
Okay.
We didn't
high school.
High school.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
And, high school sweethearts. You're so cute.
Yeah. We didn't really, really meet until he was after high school.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
She didn't like you then?
didn't know he existed. Honestly, I didn't even know that. Yeah. He went to the same high school.
Oh wow.
We were in one of the same class, and she said, I didn't exist.
So how did
just didn't know.
So how did you guys meet then? If you went to the same high school but didn't meet up until later in life, how did that happen?
It was just through friends.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we had mutual
met through friends. Met through some mutual friends.
Gotcha. Yeah. So is that like in college, after college then?
I was a few years after high school. Yeah. Met at a mutual friend's barbecue and decided, you know what? Got together a couple weeks later and went and shoot some pool together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you big pool players, or have you played a lot of pool in your life?
Used to. Yeah.
Okay. I could see them down at like the local pool bar.
Total pool sharks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly.
Yeah. She's a better player than I am.
Got it.
Do you guys have a pool table at your house?
No.
No, we don't.
We may have to fix that.
Yeah. So at what point did you move from the valley up into the mountains or the hills?
Well, we moved to Michigan.
Oh.
I didn't know you guys went over to Michigan.
Yes, we were in Michigan for 10 years. And
okay.
After we have our first son, and we decided to move back to California.
Nice.
And after having, live in Michigan for a while, I cannot stand the valley anymore.
The valley sucks in the summertime, especially.
And we've been coming up to the Rubicon, and Sue and I talk about, hey, wouldn't it be cool just to live really close to the Rubicon?
Mm-hmm.
And it all snowballed from there,
The Rubicon Trail is what drew you guys up to the mountains. Is that what kind of drew you back to California as well, or was it just had the opportunity to come back?
Yeah, it was more for family.
Gotcha.
Yeah, family. And
okay. How long have you guys been wheeling then? Have you, since high school been wheeling, or how long have you guys been in the rock crawling and wheeling scene up here?
As for me, ever since high school, my first vehicle of all was a 1973 Land Cruiser.
I
built that in my metal shops and auto shop class, and it wasn't really serious wheeling, but that's all a 16-year-old kid can afford.
Had some massive 33s.
Yeah, it was 31. Yeah.
It was 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, I built my own shackle kit just to lift it, and whatever I can to scrape up to get this thing running, and whatever money I have was just to feed it just to get to school.
Sounds like me now.
Nothing's changed.
We didn't really get serious into rock crawling after we moved back from California. I did some wheeling up in Michigan, but it wasn't anything, it was just more of a wood trails and mud puddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a couple of sand dunes.
Yeah.
So we did some sand dunes up there.
So we got sand dunes in Michigan?
Silver Lake, Michigan. It's very similar to Pismo.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but you got the big lake instead of the ocean.
A big ocean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after we moved back and we start, doing a lot of Rubicon and Fordyce. And
that was back when 31s could get you through Fordyce. 31s, 33s could get you through.
So what happened to that rig?
We sold it, and we're just trying to build a rig that, to accommodate all of us.
Mm-hmm. Because you had a third wheel now, huh, at that point?
At that point, yes, we did.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So our first born was about 6 months old. That's when we decided, you know what, we miss family. I want him to be around grandma, grandpa. And that's when we just went ahead and sold the house, sold the business, and, mosey on back down to California.
What was your business?
An automotive shop.
Okay.
It was a speed shop.
Gotcha. Okay. So you moved on back to California.
Moved on back to California. And I guess he was right around 6-7 months old. And shortly after that, we started to hit the trails. This guy over here started to build nothing but, standard cabs. And
I'm a pickup guy.
Yeah. Right? Sounds right? Familiar. I know somebody like that.
Who, me?
And then we kind of moved on over to a couple of the Suzukis, and it was still kind of like just a lunchbox deal there, and wasn't enough room, and the baby was growing, so we decided went from the Suzukis and then upgraded to the 4Runners. Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did a couple of runs down in Southern California. Well, not Southern California, down over at Bald Mountain, Swamp Lake.
Okay. Shaver Lake area. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So did all those trails prior to moving up too, right?
Gotcha. Here in NorCal, so when you moved back into California, you were down in the Fresno area when you moved in?
Merced area. Gotcha. Yes.
Okay. So how long were you guys down there before you did move up here next to the Rubicon?
Just a few years.
A couple of years.
Yeah, just a few years because we couldn't handle the heat and
one summer.
One summer.
The dust.
They came in on a winter and left before the next summer. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, because in Michigan, there's the four seasons.
So
it's beautiful. It's clean. It's not dusty. And, it's not full of almond fields during harvest season. It's just crazy. So
that's
what drove us out of there.
I grew up in Tulare County, in Tulare and Visalia. It's right in the middle of agricultural world, pretty much right there. And the summertime gets disgusting down there. So I don't miss it at all. I came up to Sacramento for college and I was like, I'm never going back down to the valley down there. So cool. We've talked a little bit about a couple of the rigs you guys have now or have had. You had the 74 Land Cruiser.
Yes, sir.
What else did you have after that? You had a standard cab pickup. You had a couple of 4Runner too.
The 4Runner.
Let's go through this evolution here because I want to get into the evolution of your guys' rigs.
Why are you giggling over there, Sue?
I'm giggling because...
Did we miss like 10 in the middle of that?
Pretty much, yeah. I went through so many trucks just trying to find the perfect combination because I'm a pickup guy. I like the way it really nimble. And at the same time, we need a four-door 4Runner to fit both of our kids and... So, every time I'm out spotting and she would hop in my truck, start driving and say, that's enough. You need to get your own rig. And she said, what rig should I get? I say, just go find the one you want. I don't care what it is, just what you want and we'll build it. And she went out to South Lake Tahoe, found her a 4Runner and come back and say, hey, we need to go tow my truck back.
It doesn't run.
Did it even
have wheels?
It had wheels. Okay. It was a
long transmission. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we towed home and it, ever since then, we did a straight axle swap on it and put a new transmission.
So is that the first gen 4Runner you have now, Sue?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
I've only owned one rock.
You've only owned one, whereas Chai is like on 52 now or something?
Yeah, he's like on number 52.
There's nothing wrong with that, Chai.
I would just like to point out, I know couples who are like the female's like, I want to go get a dog or we need a new dog or something. The husband's like, you know what? Fine. Just go out, find a puppy, whatever you want to get. And you guys did the same thing with rock crawlers, though. Yeah, pretty much, so yeah. I'd like to point that out to everybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your Forerunner since we're here now, Sue, because it's been under a little bit of an evolutionary change going on here recently. Originally, how long have you guys had it now?
It was towed home in 2013.
So mm-hmm. when you towed it home in 2013, you immediately solid axled it, did a bunch of work on it to turn it into a crawler.
Yeah.
What all work did you do to it to get that?
Well, she started out with both front and rear E-locker.
Okay.
4/7 transfer case and running 35-inch tire.
Okay.
And I
did. And that has the 3.0 in it, right? The three-wheel six-liter,
six-cylinder.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
With the 3.0, but to make it the 3.0 really work on the trail, you need a newer transmission, like a 3.4 transmission.
Yep.
Because it's more efficient and less stress on the motor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And since then, she pretty much outwheeled what she had, and she broke her E-locker, and 35 was too small now.
Uh-huh.
So we just jumped from 35 to 39 and got her some custom rough-stuff housing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to be just like you.
Yeah. And then
you had it all on leaf springs throughout this transition.
Leaf springs, okay. And we move away from the E-locker to air locker.
Mm-hmm.
We use a Yukon,
the zip lockers,
the zip locker.
Okay. On still on the 8-inch ring, the 8-inch third members.
Yep. Rear V6 and the front is the high pinion.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
All 8-inch. She's still running 8-inch on, mm-hmm. 39.5 IROCs.
And do just fine.
Yeah. She's not heavy footed, so she's really finesse. So. It survived many years.
I remember, I think one of the first times I met you guys was out at Prairie City.
Yes.
And there was, I forget what was going on that day, but there was two guys trying to make up the pyramid, and they were just sitting there humping the pyramid and pretty much almost rolling over on each other. And finally they backed off because you were sitting there, Sue, ready to go up, and you just crawled. You're just watching. And I just watched you go up and you just crawled right up it and made it look like nothing after these guys were sitting there like blowing up their rear ends for like 20 minutes.
That was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. And then it was even more fun to watch you go up afterwards. And you just crawled right up to the top, and everybody that was standing there was like, just erupted. It was awesome.
It's unbelievable. Somebody made it to the top after watching these Jeeps. That obviously should make it to the top, but can't.
No, there were two Forerunners.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
He said Jeeps.
It's just that finesse I was telling you about. There's the finesse and the automatic trans, same way we go to big obstacle up in the middle of Rubicon, guys will destroy the rig trying to get up, and here she come along, just finesse it up.
Yep.
Just like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really impressive to watch. So that Forerunner, that setup with the rough stuff housings, the 8-inch third members, leaf springs, you got to go on a really neat show called Truck Night in America.
Yes, I did.
With that. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
It definitely was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Uh-huh. Chai sat back. He put his microphone down. He goes, I'm not going to be talking for a while.
I want to know how soon the truck was ready before you went on the first, out to like travel out there.
It actually was pretty much ready.
Oh, yeah? It wasn't one of those scrambles last minute to be able to like, oh my gosh, we got to get done and then
the only
drive.
Thing they required was for her to have a cage. So that was the thing that we had to scramble to get a cage on, right? We had less than a week to do it. And
That's pretty much it. But other than that, I mean, it went just the way it sat in the garage.
Yeah.
So
cool.
It was a really fun experience. Never once would ever... I'd ever dreamed to go do something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I met a lot of great people and a lot of, all of the other drivers from different parts of the country with different mm-hmm. types of trucks out there. So mm-hmm. it was pretty cool. It was a really cool experience.
How did the recruiting process come about for that? If you're like, I would have never dreamed of going and doing that. How did you end up getting to go do that then?
I didn't sign up. I didn't do an application.
Really?
Okay.
I was recruited through Instagram. They pretty much contacted me through Instagram, and here I am asking, is this a scam? why a show this big, go out and recruit someone like me, right? Uh-huh. And she's like, well, we do have like tons of applications coming in, but we want a couple of female drivers on the show as well.
Yeah.
So, and we looked through your profile and you seem to meet a lot of the requirements. So, like to get to know you and get some interviews going on and see if you can get on the show.
Nice. That's really cool. What is your Instagram, by the way, so people can go check it out?
It's mamabun_89.
Perfect. So that's the 89 is the year of your 4Runner, correct?
That's correct.
Gotcha. Yeah. So cool. So you got to be on Truck Night America. The obstacles that you did was, of course, the beginning race, right?
Yes.
With everybody kind of head to head pretty much. And then there was kind of like a waterfall climb mm-hmm. thing that on like shotcrete pretty much. and then there was, what was after that? Or was that the one where you got eliminated after?
That was the one. And gotcha. Yes. There was another one where we had to kind of back up this corrugated.
Yeah.
Funky looking.
Yeah, I didn't understand that
silo.
One.
Yeah. Like a silo
yeah,
thing.
Silo.
I didn't understand the point of that one. I didn't understand it either.
I mean, it was corrugated, so it was kind of weird to back up. I mean, I've backed up my truck and trailer plenty of times, but this thing was a little weird but and funky. Mm-hmm. But
which judge chose you?
I ended up getting Mr. Glenn Plake.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fun.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
That's neat.
And yeah, we're still friends. We still get in contact with them and we keep good friends. We still wheel with them.
Nice. Yeah. When do you get to go wheeling with Glenn Plake?
It's a trail hero.
A trail hero each year. Gotcha.
Sand Hollow.
Okay. Nice. We'll have to keep that in mind. Maybe we'll have to like find a way to get out there.
Jason would be so upset. Jason would be.
We plan to see him if we do go to Jeep Jamboree. He loves Jeep Jamboree now.
Oh, okay.
He's just right outside of.
That's right. He's up in the Nevada area.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's very close by, so he loves Jeep Jamboree. Right now they're probably up in I don't know where snow skiing right now. So
That's his first hobby.
Yeah.
That's his first love. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So. Has he been down to Fordyce? Have you guys gotten him on Fordyce yet?
Actually, we did.
It was his
you
first
did?
Trip.
Yeah.
Nice.
Got in contact and with us, asked us if we can take him to Fordyce with a group of Utah guy.
Okay.
David Adam was one of the,
a couple of the Truck Night America contestants.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. They contact us and say, hey, we want to run Fordyce. We want to run Rubicon. So we pretty much was their tour guide. Uh-huh. We took him through Rubicon first, Fordyce.
Fordyce
we went to
first.
Fordyce first. And then back-to-back trip. Right back to the Rubicon from Tahoe side.
Okay.
Going down Cadillac Hill, down to the springs, and up to or towards Buck.
Okay. So you went from Eagle Lakes.
We went from Eagle Lakes.
Up to Meadow Lake.
Yep.
And then took 89 all the way down to Tahoma, and then came in Cadillac Hill on Rubicon and went down to Loon?
No, we camp at Buck.
We
camp at Buck, and then we just kind of went to Loon and come back and just hung out at the spring.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they had a big old semi and triple car.
Oh, up at Tahoe.
Yes.
Gotcha. Well, that was fun. How was that? How many days was that trip?
It was like literally a weekend trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a weekend.
So do you wheel? How far? You didn't camp on Fordyce at all?
We did.
We did camp at Committee.
We did one night at Fordyce. So we went through Eagles. We camped up at Committee.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the following day, we actually exit Committee through Fordyce Lake.
Gotcha. You didn't go up 3, 4, 5?
Right. Because
same night, we went up and did some night wheeling.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they say they want to do Rubicon. They want,
Because
and they had the big trailer.
Yeah,
they had the big semi. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so,
exactly. That makes sense.
So, okay. Yeah, we had to exit committee to get to their semi.
Gotcha.
Then we just big on down to Tahoma side,
mm-hmm.
and went into Cadillac, went down to the springs, and then back up towards the south end of Buck. So we took them hiking, swimming, you know, they enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, that's a fun trip doing it that way, especially if you get to go up and do some night wheeling up 345 area. So, nice.
Did Plake bring his flat fender?
No.
No.
He brought his wife's buggy. Kimmy.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, the flat fender on Fordyce would be unreal.
He's probably going to bring that to Jeepers Jamboree for sure. Yeah, for sure. And but no, they brought Kimmy's buggy.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so you got to be on Truck Night America, and it sounds like that has kind of stayed, I don't want to say a big part of your life, but you're still keeping a bunch of the relationships that you got from there and still keeping in contact with people, the other contestants, the judges. That's pretty cool. I wouldn't have thought that a game, I don't want to say a game show, but a show like that with a competitive show, you would build kind of these lasting relationships with people and keep in touch with them and go wheeling with them and go travel cross country with them kind of thing.
I think it speaks wonders of, you know, the couple across the way here on the couch for us, because they're the type of people that are humble enough to do keep those connections and do, they, you know, are willing to open their doors and help out people in need, you know, and obviously continue to keep in contact with some of these, you know, contestants and the hosts, I guess, in a way. So,
definitely. That's a big thing. I know that we've talked about you guys on the podcast before as being two of the nicest people we've ever met.
Two of the
people that would, like, if there's ever going to be like one person that's going to stop and help everybody on the trail along the way, no matter what happens, it's going to be you two.
That's how we made so many friends, was just on the trails. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, we made so many friends and we've allowed them become really close friends just from us helping them
become long time relationships and friendships.
I've always heard of it. There's one guy, I don't know, what's his name, Stainless Steel Dan is his name. Dan, his whole rig is made out of stainless steel, the entire vehicle. He built it, but he's renowned for just being kind of like you guys, stopping and helping everybody along the way. And he goes, I don't see it as stopping and helping. I see it as stopping and making new friends every single time. He goes, every time I get to stop and help somebody, it's an opportunity to make a new friend out on the trail. I was like, that's a pretty cool way of thinking about it.
Great way to think about it.
Okay, so let's kind of piggyback on that, because I know you guys have a ton of experience being up here on Rubicon, on Fordyce, Barrett, all the trails up in this area. Yeah, I know that you guys do stop and help out a lot of people on the trail. Is that kind of the genesis for how the Bun Trail Welder came around?
Yes, it's it's pretty much that's how it started. We started out with just stick welding. It was I put together this welding kit from Harbor Freight stuff. It's just like stingers and ground and a couple welding rod. And, you know, even then, it's just like I have guys coming through our camp in the middle of the night, guys just hunting us down and say, hey, where's that guy with the welder? You know? And for years that we've been doing that, and, you know, I help guys on Fordyce, and we had to go, and I just left them with my grinder, my welder, and gave them my info.
Hey, send it back to me when you guys get off the trail kind of thing?
That's pretty much. And, you know, then...
They'll drop it off with a 6-pack.
Yeah. And say thank you. It wasn't like cool. A 12-pack, you know, in front of my door.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just Sue said, hey, can we make this thing, any better?
Let's streamline this a little bit.
Yeah. And the only thing I can think of is the spool gun, the spool gun. And one of my good friend, Jim Kern, he had said, hey, I got this old Lincoln spool gun. If you want to mess with it, you're more than welcome to.
Nice.
So, he gave it to me. I took it apart and figured out what it need to be to work with two batteries.
Nice.
And it's from there, and we've been using it for years. And, then every time you hear that well buzz and, you know, it attract people.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I need that.
The sizzling bacon from across the trail. Yeah.
You could be at camp and you see a bright light with a sizzling bacon sound. And, you got guys, hey, I need that. I need to borrow that. And,
you got guys like jumping out of the bushes from around, like, what?
Yeah, that and you hear the grinder going. That was just like, it just attract people, and we do lend it out quite a bit, and and every time we always get it back.
Nice,
you always get it back, and it just like we decide to make some. And
did you guys have like just people asking you after you fixed them? They're like, hey, can you please make me one of these?
People do ask,
you know, hey, if you ever get a chance, duplicate one for me, I'd definitely buy it, you know? After a couple of years of being asked or a couple of years of being on the trail and people looking for us, hey, are the buns here? Because we probably will need their welder or whatnot, or ask if we're going to be on the trail this coming up weekend, or whatnot.
You guys just put up a sign at Loon Lake as you go in. The buns are on the trail. Yeah. Hit us up on the radio or something, then grab it on your way back out.
Yeah, we'll be at Buck. Yeah, that's pretty much how it started. We decided we'll start making it. We're going to keep it priced for the blue collar, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't make much of it, but we just... It's just really it could be a lifesaver.
Yeah, absolutely. Because one of the things that Jimmy and I have talked about it quite a bit is, you know, if you're going to be in rock crawling, going off-roading, doing some more extreme stuff, even if you don't know how to weld, we argue that you should carry a welder. Because you're going to eventually broke down on the side of the trail somewhere. Someone's going to pass you who knows how to weld. And they may not have a welder.
And that's the,
I agree.
That's one thing with the stick. Not everybody know how to weld stick. But with the bio-feed gun, you can stick point. Two metal together.
Yeah, it's just point and shoot. And that's one of the things I also really like about your guys' system is that it's simple, right? When you talk about a spool gun that you can hook up to two batteries, a lot of people think of Ready Welder. And Ready Welder A, in my opinion, is a very expensive welder for a trail welder when you look at price points of what you can do with welders, right? But B, your guys' setup is simpler than a Ready Welder. And that's one of the things I really, really like about it is that it's simpler to hook up. It's simpler to use. It's really just kind of like a point and shoot. You're not having to worry about different line speeds. You just have to realize what speed the line is and go with that. But I mean, if you know how to weld, then you should be able to figure that out. And it's a really slick, streamlined kit that you guys have put together at a phenomenal price point for what trail welders are priced at nowadays.
That's right. It's actually just under 11 pounds. So it's very lightweight.
Oh, it's that lightweight
as well.
Too. Yes. I didn't even think about the weight aspect of it. Yeah.
And you're out there, you're trying to carry different parts. You never know who's going to break what. So everybody is.
Yeah. I just handed you that with one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chucked it at me across the room and I was able to catch it just fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the three model. The first model is just a simple with no feed control.
Okay.
And which is just, the one you have. Yeah, that's a standard kit one.
And so just so everybody knows out there, if you haven't been paying attention, with April being Fabrication Welding Month, you guys donated a kit for the giveaway for April.
Yes, we did.
So we have a Bun Trail Welder kit here. I've got it in my hands. I'm looking at it right now that we're going to be doing for the giveaway for this month. So huge thank you to you guys for donating that.
You're welcome.
It's a really cool kit. So this is the first model, you said?
That is the standard kit one.
Okay.
Yes.
And so the features of it are... Just kind of hook it up. You need to pull two batteries.
Batteries.
Mm-hmm. Wireman series for 24 volt.
For the 24 volt to do the weld, and the gun itself require 12 volt to feed the wire.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
So you hook that up to your batteries, and the spool is all held there in the gun, your wire and everything, so you don't have extra wire sticking out or anything. And it's a flux core, I assume?
Yes, the flux cores, which we chose that just for you can weld it in in the wind, outside, grease, paint. It's not as picky as the MIG.
Yeah, you don't want to have to sell extra argon bottles with your kits.
Trying to maybe keep it lightweight and simple.
Get a little power tank argon bottle that you can attach to it.
It's one of those tools that you just stick in the back of your truck and
hope you don't need it.
Yeah, you don't need it. And when you do need it, it'll get you off the trail.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen a couple of those in action now out on the trail. And they work really well, and they are very simple. So that's what I love about them. So that's your first kit. What's the next model?
The next model is the kit 2 that come with the feed control. You can adjust the feed, the wire feed to some people. They like to Wilson speed I like the kit one. I can just pulse the trigger. If it gets too hot, too fast, I can pulse it.
Gotcha.
And with the kit 2, you can adjust the speed of the wire that's coming out.
Okay.
And the kit 3 we have is for the Premier Welder. And
that's right.
Know Premier Welder is a great welder.
Yeah.
And the problem with the Premier Welder is a stick welder. You got to be really good at welding.
Yes. Stick is very difficult to weld upside down, especially overhead.
Especially with battery.
Yes.
I weld a stick with a regular household outlet, and fine. But if you're trying to weld stick out in the wood with two batteries, you got to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine. I have never tried it with two batteries, but I struggle enough as it is with just I've got the whole Premier set up with the alternator and everything, so... it works, but it can take a little bit of a hot minute to get going and get the stick running. So
it sounds like you need our kit 3.
And I've been looking at it because, stick welding, I like it because you can do multiple processes with it, right? But the downside is a lot of what you're doing on the trail is if there's a frame broken or an axle or something, a lot of it's welding overhead. And the stick is very difficult to do overhead. Very. Whereas a spool gun is a way easier to do overhead than stick is. So
how does kit 3 work? Because I know that the Premier has two leads, right? And then you just have the ground and the stick for the most part. So does yours plug into those two leads?
Our kit 3, he's already got it modified where it's plug and play right to the Premier welder, your power box.
Nice.
Yep. It's just as easy as that.
That's cool.
Wow. So shoot and go.
So you have to swap the alternator, right? So it uses the alternator, the upgraded alternator, and the box to regulate the power to be
correct.
Better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with the Premier welder, you can weld different thickness, and with the spool gun, you can adjust the wire speed. Mm-hmm. And it plug, and you use the same ground cable as what Premier welders supply.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Unplug your positive side. It come with the connector.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
LT10. So you use the ground from Premier, but you use your guys's
positive.
Positive, with the spool gun versus the stinger for the welding rod.
Clever.
Yeah. So do you guys have to reverse the polarity? Because I know that's a big thing with the Premier. If you're welding on yourself, you have to reverse the polarity of your leads. Do you have to do that with your guys' kit?
You can do that. You can do the reverse the polarity, but the only thing that you can't reverse is the wire feed.
The wire feed?
Yes. The wire feed itself has to be in the 12 volt, which is two separate circuit from the welding part of it.
Okay. I'd have to figure out how I would make that work off mine then, because my batteries are up underneath the back end of my 4Runner and the Premier hookup is in the front. So I'd have to make a 12 volt port in the engine bay for the wire feed, correct?
Or we can build a long lead that will go to your battery, because we have two lead for your positive and your negative of your battery.
Okay.
And the welding cable go to your power box.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice. So you have the three kits. What are the price points of them? What are the price points?
It's very affordable.
Very affordable. I agree.
Very affordable. So kit 1 is our standard kit, and that starts right at the $325.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then kit 2 comes with the speed controller, and that's $355. And then, of course, the kit 3 is, of course, just an accessory to the Premier, and that's $360.
Gotcha.
So kit one and kit two, they both come with the ground clamp and the jumper.
Okay.
So that way you can, you know, run the two batteries. Mm-hmm. And then kit three, of course, once again, you're just going to use your premier kit ground and everything else. And it just comes with just a spool gun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Those are really, really good prices.
Yes, they are.
So if you guys go out and look at trail welders out on the internet, all the listeners out there, and look up pricing on trail welders, that's a pretty damn good price. So
we try to keep it low for all the blue collar out there.
Yeah, that's cool. When they send it out, it obviously it gets shipped in like a box like that.
Yes, it comes in that box right there, and it's ready to go right out of the box.
Nice.
So we've also installed a 2-pound flux core. You know, the wires are, you got the wires, you got the jumper cable, you got the ground. So everything is ready to go minus your batteries.
Okay.
And helmet. Your helmet and your gloves. So those are the things that you do need to prepare for it.
Okay. Cool. What about, I saw that some of them have been getting Pelican cases. Is that, has that just been something that users have been getting on their end, or is that an add-on that you guys have been doing now?
When we have the inventory, we will be able to ship out, they're similar to Pelican cases, but they are not the actual Pelican case.
Correct,
we get them from Harbor Freight. It's the Apache 3800 model that, you know, fits the gun perfectly, you know, comes with the foam, and there's plenty of room for gloves, goggles, pliers, wire cutters, and our business cards and decals.
Nice. Perfect. Nice. So what kind of things have you guys personally repaired on the trail? Let's get into some fun stories of using these welders, and what have been some of the fun breaks that you've been able to fix with them out there?
Mostly, a lot of it was dry shafts, tie rod.
Tie rods? I can imagine.
A lot of guys that have a welder, they fix anything from, you know, cast knuckle.
Does it work pretty well on cast? Do you have to do a lot of preheating for the cast, or will it glue everything up pretty well?
It glue everything up, and the guy kept on going with it.
Nice.
You can, you know, if in a pinch, you can still weld 36 volt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get a little more heat.
Yeah, a little more heat. You can run 36 volt. We welded half inch thick material before.
Wow.
With the wire speed crank all the way up, and it weld just fine.
Wow. Nice.
A lot of link bracket, Panhard bracket. Mm-hmm. Those are the main.
You're doing a lot of JK Panhard brackets?
Mostly the dry shaft.
Gotcha.
What about that Jeep run when we took them out to Fordyce? Yeah,
that
one
was the
group.
JK Panhard bracket.
Yep. I've seen a few of those just get mangled. We always tell everybody in our club, pretty much everybody in the club has Jeeps of some sort. And so there's a lot of JKs. And we tell everybody the first thing you do on your JK is you beef up that Panhard bracket on the axle side and the frame side and put a steering box brace on it, a sector shaft brace. Because those are the first two things that'll go on a JK rock crawling.
Yep. We lent a welder to a guy that broke his bracket right at the frame.
Yep.
And he track us down at Buck Island. Hey, where's the guy with the welder? I'm bringing back his
Nice. <Yeah. laughs> That's cool. So we have talked a little bit about Sue's 4Runner here. Let's talk a little bit about your Tacoma, your current rock crawler, number 52 here.
Yeah. I think this one is the keeper.
This one is the keeper. It's gone through like two registrations. All the other ones, I've never had to renew the registration, but this one, I'm like, man, it's going on 2 years. This is the keeper.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, you've done a lot to it.
Yeah.
Done a lot, and it's a 97 Toyota Tacoma with a 2.7 four cylinder.
That's the 3RZ, right?
The 3RZ,
okay.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. One of my friends upgraded to a 4Runner. He don't know what he got into. So I asked him, hey, I want your truck if you're done, you know, parting it out. And he said, well, you know, just give me $2,500 for it and it's yours. And he took the drivetrain out. You know, this is a his axle, his transfer case, and left me with everything. And
so you got the body, essentially the cab, the engine, and transmission.
Yes.
Did you get the suspension too, or did he take that?
He took that. He took all that.
So you got a frame, a motor, transmission, a body. Got it. Okay. But
it was a nice truck.
Yeah.
It's a nice $2,500 buy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I brought it home, stuck some Land Cruiser axle under it, and you got dual cases, and I was out wheeling. And yeah, just
threw you had it on leaf springs at the time too, yes, right?
On leaf springs, okay. It was just something. Was just I want to go wheel.
Yeah,
yeah. And it was that was for temporary, but it was, you know, many years temporary fix.
It got you out wheeling in a for you like an 8 to 10 hour day of work, right?
So I decided to upgrade to. Land Cruiser 9.5 third member with a rough stuff housing.
Okay.
We did a centered diff. You know, centered.
So you did the passenger side longer, or did you shorten the driver's side?
For the front, I lengthened the short side.
Okay. Cool.
So it's 67 inches. 67 inches wheel mounting surface.
Yep.
I had the FJ80 outers with the brakes, the knuckle, Hellfire knuckle. The front is just 9.5
with
a Grizzly locker from Yukon.
Gotcha.
And the rear axle is, had a custom built with a center differential right at the center, so equal length. Full floater, 9.5 in the rear with a custom 300M kick-ass axle shaft.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, that thing is just, it's somewhat dialed in. And I wheeled it for many years on leaf springs. And it's just the last modification I did was just did four link rear and three links up front.
And you redid the whole frame too.
Yes. the original frame was just been through so much. Just the guy before me had it. And, there was a hole that needed to be patched and wasn't really. Quite well together. So I found an 83 frame.
Okay.
Cut them all up and, just got two frame rails and I built my own cross member and it just started fresh. And that's how it sit now.
That was really fun watching the build process of the frame and how you were setting up the frame just from there. And then you put the suspension on it and then the axles on it. Yeah. And then you put all the drivetrain in. I was like, this is just cool to watch this being built, so essentially from the frame up from there. Up,
pretty much from,
It was a lot of fun to watch that process. So now it's on double triangulated four linked in the rear?
Yes.
Okay, and then three link panhard in the front?
Yes.
Coilovers front and rear?
Yes, coilovers, Fox, 14-inch coilover, 2.5 Fox.
Okay.
And the rear is just a 2.0 FOA coilover.
Okay, nice. And so now that's up on the way it sits pretty much now. And you're not very easy on the truck. You're you like to go and have fun in your truck. Yes.
He goes and have fun.
Usually I'll give it two try. If not, then I start shifting gear. All my friends, they're trying to predict it. Yeah, after two try it, trying to crawl up stuff, and then that's when the heavy foot and the shifting gear come in.
I've seen a video of you pretty much launching the truck up the first section of the gauntlet over on Slick Rock.
Yes,
going up that first part. So, yeah, there's also a couple of really great pictures of you out on the internet. I believe that Sue took of doing soup kitchen in that truck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's done many sections of that soup kitchen.
Of soup kitchen. Yeah. As many lines as you can figure out right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because, pretty much Rubicon's our backyard and, that's where we spend most of our time at. So he's just, you're trying to cover every inch of it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Have you guys gotten to the point where you think you've pretty much done everything on the Rubicon yet? Because that's one of my favorite things about that trail is that there's so many different optional lines throughout the entire trail. You can run the trail 30 times and still pick a new line to go through the trail.
I agree. I agree with that.
Thing about Rubicon is,
Mm-hmm. So do you think you've done it enough times now where you have figured out?
I don't think we've done enough times.
Oh, wow.
As many years we've been running it since we moved back to California, 2013? No, we started running in 2010. We started running Rubicon back in 2010. We moved back in 2007. And then when our son was old enough, right around 2 years old, that's when we started hitting the trails of Rubicon. I mean, we've been running, like I was telling you, all of Shaver Lake area, you know, easy trails like Sourgrass, you know, Slick Rock. But then when he got a little bit older, then that's when we started hitting the Rubicon and followed with Fordyce.
Yeah.
So no, it's been so many years, but I don't think we've touched every inch of the Rubicon. Wow. And just like you said, you know, it looks different every time you go back.
Yeah.
You know, because you got those, you know, big 54s that come through and shift the rocks around. And then there you go. There's a new line. So no, it doesn't seem, I don't think we've covered every inch of it.
Wow. That's impressive. What's your guys' favorite camp spot out at Buck? And if you don't, if you want us to go back and edit this out so people don't take it from you when you go down there next time.
We don't mind sharing.
We don't mind sharing. As long as they, you know, it's first come, first serve, right? Yep. I mean, you know, the trail is for everybody's use. And my favorite spot is, I call it the Cove. And that's just right, the Cove.
Yeah,
it's C-O-V-E. The back end of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you pass that fun, exciting area of Bach, and it's right before you drop down to Big Slough on your right.
Oh,
so it's
down
right
there.
At the very, very corner, and it is like a little cove.
Okay, yeah, there's a little
on your right.
I want to say the entrance into it, right before it, is this really tight turn with a FU rock in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you're coming up, if you're coming up on Big Slough, then it's like a Y.
Yeah,
you know, so you just go to your left. So yeah, but coming from the dam, you're taking a right.
Yeah.
And way at the very bottom corner, I mean, it's nice,
quiet. I've never been down there. I've seen that there's a restroom down there, but I've never gone down to explore
down
there.
Yeah. Go past the restroom to your left. That is very quiet. You can go up and up around the, you could see that hilltop from the dam. And once you get up there, you can continue hiking, and there's waterfalls and swimming holes up there. It's beautiful. And you can see all of Buck Island.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where you get a lot of good pictures.
Yeah, I need to make another trip up there. A few more trips up there.
Yeah. So the year that we took the guys from Texas and David Adams from Truck in America, so yeah, they hiked up there, and they were like just in heaven.
Yeah. It is. It's absolutely gorgeous up there on that trail. So that's kind of where your truck sits now.
Yes.
Now, what's going on with the 4Runner?
Well, after Sand Hollow, she said, well, I want a little bit more capable rig.
This was 2 years ago?
Two years ago, and she said, you know, I want links front and rear. So
links and 44s is what you're going to go do?
Yeah, but just
links.
Links, okay.
So one thing led to another. It's a truggy now.
It's truggy now? I didn't know that it was truggy.
I started out as bobbing the back. I didn't like the way it looked. Okay, you know, so keep cutting, and next thing you know, it cut half of a truck. And then the front end, and she said, well, just dub this thing, and you, next thing you know, she just, you know, cut the whole frame rail off, you know, the fenders and everything.
Just redo the whole front frame. And
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. So my motivation was the rated 13s over at Sand Hollow. That was the motivation.
Okay. Jimmy, okay.
That's what we were talking about.
So that's
earlier.
What you're going for? Wow.
So now
I'm thinking about maybe doing like sevens or eights in my 4Runner if I go to Sandal. That's funny.
So it's three links front.
Okay.
Yeah, three links front and four links double triangulated rear.
Okay. And truggy to now.
So you could have started with a single cab.
She's still like a 4Runner.
Are you keeping the little emblem black placard behind the window?
Yes.
That front window at least say it's still a 4Runner?
Yeah,
4Runner. Okay. And I keep in her tailgate, so I'm going to somehow integrate that into
the tailgate, the hood. You know, it's going to be a different Mama Bun truck, that's for sure.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So you're still keeping the back seat for the kids?
No.
For the cooler.
Yeah. Oh, for the cooler.
Cooler. Cooler is a fuel cell now.
It's a fuel cell.
That's funny.
So what about the kids?
Yeah, what about the kids?
Are they not out?
We got two boys, and they both just kind of, you know, ride shotgun in one of our trucks.
Okay.
So it's been so like that for a while.
You don't need back seats anymore.
We don't need back seats anymore. No, we've got rid of the car seat many years ago. So I think they could. I mean, shoot, my 13-year-old drives my truck on the trail.
I was going to say that. The oldest is probably getting ready for his own rig.
Yeah, they have fun with it once we get out there. So they do drive their own trucks. Yeah. So
nice. That's really neat. So are there plans in the works for the 13-year-old to get his own rig soon, or?
Oh, we'll see. I might just maybe a hand-me-down from mine, right?
What are you going to get then? You're going to build the Corvette outside?
I got a 73 Land Cruiser.
Back to the good old days, huh?
Back to the good old days. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice.
Full circle.
So, yeah.
Yeah, full circle. That's right.
Cool.
Those are neat. I would love to build one of those one day. Mm-hmm. An old school Land Cruiser FJ40. I think that'd be so fun.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a few of them popping up recently.
I know.
People keep tagging me and I'm on Facebook Marketplace. And I'm like, I can't.
What was his name? DJ that we went with on Cruise Moab, where it was stretched 16-inch coilovers front and rear.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was awesome.
Yeah. That one and Rancho Toyota Steve.
Mm-hmm.
His 40 is one of my favorite 40 builds.
Yeah, I haven't seen him at all. I haven't seen him on the trail or anything. Does he get out?
Last time I talked to him, he said he just got out on Sundays, but I haven't seen him updating his Instagram very much lately. So
yeah, I think that's what it is. I haven't seen him on his Instagram at all.
Yeah.
So that could be why.
Yeah. Okay, so are you keeping the rough stuff housings under the 4Runner as well?
Yes.
The axles are staying the same. It's just mainly the suspension and then the whole body work.
We lighten it up a little bit. So I think rough stuff housing should be okay.
I want to pick your brain here because you are a really, really awesome fabricator. You've built a lot of trucks now, have a lot of...
52.
52 trucks.
Number 52.
you have a lot of experience and anecdotal evidence for different styles and have how to build vehicles, right? So in order to go from taking a car to be able to do the Rubicon to going and doing rated 13 trails at Trail Hero, what all needs to be done for that transition? Do you kind of think of a car as being built differently for the Rubicon versus a trail 13 rated trail?
Well, yeah, with the Rubicon, you need really high clearance because, you know, especially out here where we're at, we have lots of loose rocks versus the guys from Utah guys, they have their truck really low.
Mm-hmm.
Really low, belly high, because they don't have loose rocks like we do. We have loose boulder that can get hang up. These guys, they need lower center gravity.
Okay.
Low center gravities and really flexy suspension.
Gotcha.
And that way they can do all these 15 rated trail. Versus us, we need the height too.
Yeah.
We need the height just to get for the clearance, and at the same time we need, you know. And it's just totally different.
We're just trying not to get hung up on everything. Yeah. Whereas they are like, oh no, we need to be at kind of really weird angles and off cambers and really bump it up ledges and whatnot. So they're trying to keep everything a lot lower and stable.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So is that kind of what you were doing with Sue's 4Runner?
Yeah,
or?
We're trying to meet in the middle.
Okay.
We're not trying to be too low at the same time. Yeah, you know, we just want
to. Right, because I still need to run Fordyce.
we're trying to make it light. That's what, making it light will just make a lot of components survive.
Yeah. Okay. When you guys go out off-roading or camping, I know that he's got the truck and you've got the 4Runner. Do you typically load up the truck more, or how does that work? Are you guys purposefully trying to keep a balance of weight between the two vehicles with all the camping gear?
We do. Yeah. Because he has the truck, he carries most of the heavy items.
Okay.
You know, the coolers, spare parts, and I carry the lightweight stuff, tents, sleeping bags, the kids.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Hold on. What belly height are you going for with the new 4Runner build?
20-inch.
20-inch?
Yeah, about 20 or 21 or so. I think that's, you know, really good for out here.
Okay. Versus? Yeah. That's a somewhat loaded question.
Yeah. Because, I was waiting. What's the follow-up here?
Well, no, just that the build that I'm currently working on, a single cab 93 pickup, two-wheel drive that I'm making into a four-wheel drive, is I'm trying to aim for 21. Yeah. 21 to 23 is where I'm my goal. Yeah.
For what we're doing out here, I think anything under 25 is, you know, is try to, you know, target anything between, between 20 to 25 is ideal for around here.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so my aiming for 30 is too much. You guys, I'm just kidding.
Well, you, if you have, are you trying suspension. To drive over the rocks or around the rocks?
Well, if you have your suspension flex really good, then being a little high, it shouldn't affect you that much. But if you want to really do some, get off camber stuff. And,
I saw, I was down in Old Sluice when I was, the one time I've ran it, and a Bronco came through. He was on, what was it, 48, 49s and portals? Yeah. And I was literally, I could almost walk under his Bronco, right? Yeah. And I'm 6'4". Yeah. And so I was kind of looking at him, I was like, how do you do going through all the boulders down here at the bottom of Old Sluice? And he goes, oh, I just could drive over them all. And I was like, what? That's crazy.
He straddles them.
He straddles.
Yeah, no problem.
Like, that's crazy.
Like 4 foot tall boulders. He just drives straight across.
Straight over.
It's like, doesn't even hit my diff.
Yeah, it was nuts. So I was like, oh my God, that's outrageous. I've never seen anything like that. That's cool. Okay, so back to the welder. And a little bit of what you guys do, because not only do you do the welder, you also kind of help, you get to be kind of tour guides a little bit here and there as well. Have you guys been doing that a little bit more and more?
We did have a couple of cancellations due to the COVID. Mm-hmm. And then since then, we jumpstart and the welder kind of took off a lot faster and quicker than we expected. So unfortunately, the tour guide is back burner for now.
Back burner until you kind of get things caught up with the welder stuff. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we want to attend a lot of the off-road events that's coming up summer. And I got
busy summer coming up.
Yeah. Busy summer all the way to into October. So hopefully to hit all of the events between here and Utah. And just to get out there, meet new people and network and, meet new friends and, check out new trails that we haven't been on and, go from there.
What are some of the events you guys are planning on going out to? Because I know that we have listeners easily nationwide, worldwide, but nationwide that go to a lot of the off-roading events as well. So if they were like out at the same event you guys are going to be at, they can kind of look for you guys and see if you're either going to have a booth or look for the 4Runner, the Tacoma, and hunt you guys down and say hi.
We plan to be, of course, here up at the Rubicon, the Cantina, Jeepers Jamboree, Sierra Rubathon. Trek, possibly the Rubathon.
Okay.
We'll be down at the Midnight Madness down in Fresno.
Okay.
Couple of other, smaller group events in Fresno as well. Mm-hmm. And then Sierra Trek, and then following Sierra Trek would be Trail Hero.
Okay.
Down in San Jalo.
Nice.
So,
you guys getting out to Moab for EJS or anything?
We were planning to, but my other little side hustle is keeping me at home.
So, do you want to talk about that a little bit here? Or?
I've also started Hangtown Frenchies.
Uh-huh.
So that's what's keeping me at home. When when I have my puppies, I have to be pretty much grounded for 2 months.
Yeah. So are you actually breeding them or are you kind of taking them after they've been bred to raise the puppies and get rid of them, I guess? Give them to new homes.
Yeah. No, we don't get rid of them.
Fostering, I guess.
No, I actually do breed them.
Okay.
Well, all the way from beginning to end.
Wow.
So I have the mamas. She is my pet. she's part of our family. And I do breed them. We go through the whole entire process. And then I whelp them all the way until they're 8 weeks. And then they go to their new homes. Their new forever homes.
Yes.
Not fostered. We don't get rid of them. They just get new homes.
Nice.
They go to loving families. So I want them.
That's cool. Yeah, my I keep showing a bunch of your Instagram posts with the Frenchies to my wife.
To your wife.
And she's keeps bringing it up that she, because she really wants a Frenchie next. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, here, we know somebody who's breeding. So
this litter will be ready first week of May.
Okay. Are they all spoken for?
There's, well, I don't take deposit until after the first week. Gotcha. After the first set of shots. So then.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have quite a few people are interested.
Okay. Oh, we'll see how that goes.
You might have to talk off air, huh?
Maybe. We'll see. Okay, so that's cool.
So yeah, all of our events will start in June.
Okay.
June all the way into October.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be a busy summer. We were talking a little bit about the event schedule earlier, and I'm going to be gone like 3/4 of July. I was looking at my calendar. I was like, uh-oh. it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun summer. Cool. So let's go back to the welders a little bit then here. If somebody was looking at welders, because there's different styles of welders, trail welders out on the market, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say is kind of some of the benefits or drawbacks of putting two batteries together, running a spool gun versus stick welding off of batteries versus stick welding off of Premier versus, I don't even know what it would be called, but essentially what Carnage has done, where they include
self-contained power.
Yeah. What are kind of the benefits for all those different categories or styles of welders out there? Does any of them have their place over the others, or is it, really just kind of come down to what you can afford or versus what you want to carry around on the trail with you?
That's pretty much what it is. It's just what you can afford and, you know, how much you want to carry. And, you know, ours is just really simple, just a spool gun. And, you know, if you break down and, you know, we're going to stop and pull the battery out. Mm-hmm. But the Carnage is nice, but it's just self-contained. You just pull it out and just they have two motorcycle battery in there. The only thing is, you know, you have a limited amount of time to weld on that.
True.
And you have to recharge again.
Yeah.
Versus, we could just throw the battery back in the truck and keep on going and it's charging.
Yeah.
You know, the Premier is really nice. The Premier is just, you know, you start up the truck and run and you have endless amount of power.
Yeah. But that's also, I mean, God, you look at the price points of each of those, the Premier is $1,500 to $1,800 as their system, and then the Carnage is $1,100, $1,200,
something
like that.
There. Yep.
And then you guys come in
at $300.
At $300, so it's like,
it is really what you can afford, and it all narrows down to preference. You know, some people prefer certain brands and whatnot. Yeah. So
okay. Yeah.
Also, some people don't know how to stick weld.
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
A lot of people are doing, you know, MIG welding at home in their garage, so they understand how wire feed works a little bit better. So, spool guns are very familiar, I think, with people nowadays, because that's how everybody's learning right now is with wire feed. So, I think you guys have a phenomenal setup. I think that if anybody out there is looking for a trail welder, I don't think they can go wrong getting a bun welder. Even if, like Jimmy and I say, you don't know how to weld.
Right.
Somebody will know.
Somebody will know.
On the trail will know. Somebody in your group.
Yeah.
I have spoken to quite a few customers that have purchased our welder knowingly they don't know how to weld. Mm-hmm. Okay. They say, I'm getting it because I know somebody in my group knows how to weld.
Yep.
You know, I just want to make sure that we are taken care of if anything goes down. I mean, it's not even just trucks. You know, you got the guy that broke his trailer way out in the Mojave Desert. You know, and
his spindle. Yeah.
He broke his spindle.
Yep. Off the spindle on his trailer. Okay.
So luckily his friend bought a welder from one of our retailers out of Oregon off of a G3 off-road.
Okay.
Had his welder on him and they were deep in the Mojave Desert and got an email from him and say, hey, oh my gosh, your welder saved my ass.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You go, so. Thank you so much. Can you please write us a review?
He's actually the executive director of Overland Bounder.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So he purchased one of our welder, of course, and he lives in El Dorado.
Oh, nice.
Down the road from us.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. What a small world, right?
Yeah, very small world.
That's neat.
So stories like that is what makes us get up every day and continue to do what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't know who's going to be where and who needs what. And, mm-hmm. you know, somebody might have our welder that, you know, so there's been quite a few stories, you know, similar to that one that has, you know, been emailed, messaged, text, you know, whatever it is, you know, mm-hmm. Those are the stories that keep us going. And we figure, you know what, if we can, if we can't afford to keep the cost down, we're going to do it for as long as we can, you know, because it's just like us. I mean, who wouldn't want pocket change to buy other parts, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So it's not just tools that you need. You need parts to get out to the trail, to break the parts, to need the tools.
Yes, that is true. You need your little stash of tools and parts.
Right.
Yeah. That's really cool. So I highly recommend, if anybody out there don't know how to weld, whatever it is, it's a cheap $300 insurance, to get you off of the trail and get you back home.
That's right.
I'm a big fan. So, very cool. Jimmy, did you have any other things you wanted to talk about or on your checklist?
I want to know who's the better wheeler.
We'll have to find out. So truck for truck, that will be a fair comparison.
Yeah. At Sand Hollow this year, huh? So you can make it up that number 15.
Yeah, before that, I'm on Link and she's on Leaf Spring, so I can't compare that. Now we're going to be truck for truck. We'll see.
Nice. That's going to be fun. Next, last question. When are we all going wheeling?
Yeah, really.
I know, right?
I was going to ask you that.
I know. I was going to say every year.
I haven't been on the trail with you at all, Jimmy.
Never? We've crossed paths, I'm sure.
That's not the same.
No. Yeah.
We haven't start from point A to point B.
We haven't.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the last time we were with Tyler, we end up doing a rescue mission.
I know.
I heard about that one.
That was
scarred me. I'm like, man, is this how it is? Wheeling with them every time?
Well, it wasn't even us. It was a guy we met for the first time, broke his axle, and Tyler was... Yeah, you know, being a nice guy he is, he ran back to town, found an axle shaft, brought it back to the Rubicon, and then he
said peace.
Yeah.
And he left.
Chai goes, oh, I gave him the axle shaft, and I was like, okay, cool, so what's the plan? Do you guys want me to, like, stick around to take them out loon in the morning? Because it was, like, midnight when I'm getting you the axle shaft, right?
Yes.
And you go, no, I'm going to go back and put it in their rig, and then we're going to go to Buck. And I'm like, tonight? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm going to stay here and go home in the morning.
Well, the next morning, it brought Tia to a guy from Utah.
That's true.
Yeah, sure. He heard the news of what we did for this guy that we met for the first time, and he brought... He was in tears just seeing how, you know, what we did to get him out.
Yeah. I was very impressed. I was like, man, you guys are nicer than I am. I would have been like, nope, Jeff, you're going back out loon in the morning.
Can you imagine, though, waking up in the morning and looking at Buck?
Yeah. I can imagine it, yes.
The first time ever for
somebody?
The
first time ever, yeah, no.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely, I know we talk about it every single year.
Yeah,
we're like, hey, when's the wheeling trip this year? And we never make it happen.
Yep.
So we got to make it happen no matter how busy we all are. Unless we can, like, make some trips happen where we can actually, like, team up and do some off-road events and go on the trip too.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. We're going to have to make a trip from the off-road event trip.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's probably the only time we'll be able to actually make a full trip.
Right.
Because we got a goal.
I know.
When's the Forerunner done?
That we're really close. Really close. It just got to find some time. And
Time's the hardest thing.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it'll happen this year.
This year.
It's going to happen this year.
This year for sure.
That's why I filled in our calendars, because I'm like, Chai, we got to do this event, this event, this event. So that's the goal.
Here's the weekends you're free to work on the rig. Otherwise, we're gone somewhere.
Yeah, I do need to go back into the Rubicon and get more rounds off of the big sluice tree. My plan is as soon as the snow is cleared enough to get down into big sluice, That's my top priority. Okay. So I'll let you guys know and see if you guys are free.
I got some really nice reds if you'd like to swing by and slice them up off of our redwood.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
But it's really big.
Okay.
You're welcome to have as much as you want.
We'll see. I can only keep rounds the max of like 20 inches to get lasered. So
this one, close to four feet.
Jeez.
That's too big for mine. We'll have to go up the tree a little bit. Yeah. You guys had a tree come down?
Yeah, we took a tree down.
Nice redwood as a sequoia. Yeah, but yeah.
That'll make some really nice tables.
Yeah. Tables? Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. So if you want to make any tables, coffee tables, whatever, I'll send you some pictures. And show you. It's a beautiful tree. Hmm. Beautiful color.
Okay. Yeah, I have to think about that. I'm still working on trying to come up with ways to build my bar in my house, and I want to use a live edge tree essentially.
Oh, this would be perfect for it. This would be perfect for it.
We got a section about almost 2 feet and 3 and then 4. There's three pieces sitting there.
They're 8 feet long, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll make a nice bar.
Extremely light.
Bring your trailer over.
And your little forklift in there. Yeah.
And I love playing with the forklift. All right. Well, cool. If people want to get a hold of you guys, how can they do it?
Well, they can email.
Okay.
They can call, text. They can also reach us out on a Facebook, our e-commerce page, facebook.com/buntrailwelder.
Okay. What about, email, what would be the email?
The email is leebun@rocketmail.com.
Okay. Phone number?
Phone number is 916-667-5745.
Perfect. We have the Facebook Marketplace.
Facebook.com/buntrailwelders. That's correct.
Plural or single? Trail welders or welder?
Welder.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Bun Trail Welder.
Perfect.com.
So that's our website as well.
Perfect.
And Instagram, MamaBun _89.
And what is Chai's Instagram over here?
I am barely on it. It's V Chai Bun. It's just V Chai Bun.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not much of Instagram or
social media.
Yeah. I only go there and look around and look at other people's pictures and their trip.
Gotcha.
And how about for the Frenchies?
The Frenchies are Hangtown Frenchies. So, and they are also just part of, it's just Hangtown Frenchies on Instagram.
Okay.
But, all right.
Yep.
So cool.
If somebody's looking for a Frenchie.
Yeah.
If they're looking for a Frenchie.
Look at me.
They're all AKC as well. You know, nice. All AKC.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know what that means?
Mm-mm.
They're purebreds.
Oh, purebreds. Cool.
Purebreds and their lineage is tracked, right?
Yes, right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, my corgi is AKC. We have all his AKC paperwork too. Mm-hmm. So, corgis have some really interesting names going back through their AKC lineage. They're all like Sir Dopington or whatever, like royal names kind of thing. But like
same with some of the Frenchies,
really too. Yes. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. All right, cool. So, that's how to get a hold of everybody, Jimmy. If people want to get a hold of us with any feedback or comments that we can pass along to Sue and Chai for questions or anything, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can reach us on email at jimmy or tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. You can find me on Instagram, snailtrail4x4. Tyler's over at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. You can phone us 916-345-4744.
Cool. And so with that, Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Truggy for life.
Sue, do you have any final words for everybody out there?
Yeah. Happy and safe wheeling.
Chai, any fun words, final words for everyone?
Just gun it.
Just gun it. Figures. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
I got one for you.
Okay. You have a little twinkle in your eye on this one.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it.
Okay.
Why couldn't the hot dog impregnate the bun?
Why?
too many condiments.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that. I do like that one. You are correct.